Welcome to Unguarded Phone Calls, presented by WeVolve. I'm your host, Jory Davis. This is the Unguarded Phone Calls, a new twist we've been doing in WeVolve. My co-host, L'Oreal Gamble, and I are back for another episode. Y'all, I hope you enjoy it.
I want to talk about the the boy, excuse me, in a critical condition.
Oh,
because that joint is crazy.
He's still in critical condition?
I don't know. I haven't followed up on, I think his name is Corey Manigault. I haven't followed up on him. I haven't followed up on him since I told Lil, since the incident happened. But I think he is from around the way, from, you know, Charleston, South Carolina. Or he got some people out there. But yeah, man, that's wild. You just, you know, coming over here and going out in these environments, you just have to be cautious of your surroundings. You know, you can't move the way you would move at home because you don't have that protection back at home like you have over here. Like, you just don't. So guys got to be aware of how they're moving and how, you know, they're talking or being involved or just engaging with other people overseas, because some things just don't go with them. Like, you just can't move this way you used to move at home. You can't do it. You can't do it. This is not your home. This is not your home. So you coming into somebody else's country, which is already a strike one, because some people are threatened by Americans that's coming into this country, coming into their country. You can't move the way you used to move at home. You just can't do that.
Right. And despite the money you making, you might not think it's a lot, but if you compare the minimum wage or what a normal person makes in that country, you making a lot of money. You know?
Right, correct.
So it's also like, at times, a lot of people are jealous, and, you know, I can't. That's why we try to get the right guest on the show, because of course I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how it is. I've heard stories about male athletes, the different stories, whether it be, you know, over a girl or again some dudes hating because you're making that money, or they think you making something. There's so many different scenarios that go through these people's mind, and the club. And nighttime is the best time that they know they can get you, especially if you off that liquor, because they know our routine. Our routine is the same. It ain't that hard to know what the athlete routine is, what night we in the clubs or whatnot. Yeah. You know, so it's obviously this situation just happened and you played in Cyprus. But has there been other situations similar that you've come across that you feel like? Like, what lessons have you seen firsthand that you're like, look, this is the reality. This is what we need to do. This is what you need to do, because these are the things that I've seen happen.
Well, for me, I remember it was a couple of years ago. I think it was in Romania, actually. A guy went out. This is what I heard. Well, I read stories up on it, but a guy went out. He was partying with his friends or whatever, and I think a fan just came, like a girl, she just came and put on his hat, took his hat, put on his hat, and she was just, you know, dancing. And so I'm guessing, you know, one of the guys, they were a little jealous about it. They got in an altercation. He got stabbed a couple times and he died. And from then, I think I was in Bulgaria at the time. So, you know, around, like in Bulgaria, the Eastern Europe, that Eastern part, they have a lot of mobs out here. Like, people don't know about that. It's a lot of mobs out here, and they move totally, totally different out here. So you just got to be cautious, man. And that's one situation that I learned from, that when I go out, I'm going to be with who I'm with. I wouldn't get involved with nothing. I'm not talking to people that I don't know. I'm just not doing it because I'm an American. Like, I'm just not from around here. Now, if I'm home, that's different. I'm the guy that likes to party, likes to dance. I'm always on the dance floor. That's going to be me. But when I'm over here, nah, you won't catch BT doing none of that.
Right.
So that's one lesson I did learn, that incident that happened a couple years ago where this guy passed away. He got stabbed and he died.
Right. We talked about
I almost went to jail in Romania.
You went to Oh, Lord.
I almost went to jail. Me and some of my girls, we was out partying in Cluj. We after the club, we went to McDonald's, and we were, it's like eight of us in a taxi. So we got out and we were walking through the drive-through. We ordered our food, and this car of like three dudes got out, put in the driveway behind us, and they called one of my homegirls a nigga, right? So she punched him in the face and started fighting him on the hood of the dude's car. So granted, all of us are standing in the driveway because we're trying to order our food. And then his friends get out the car and start getting into it with the other girls that I'm with. So it's eight of us and we're fighting these three dudes, right? Security comes from nowhere. I don't know where these big Romanian men came from. And, you know, of course they're talking to the dudes first. They're asking them in Romanian, like, what happened? And I don't know what they said, but, you know, all of us are like, ah! Like that, right?
Right.
They start pushing us. We got on heels and dresses and we're drunk. They pushing us. My ankle's going like this, trying not to fall. And I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to get me a cheeseburger. Like, why are you pushing me? The next thing I know, the police come. I'm in the back of a police car and I sober up instantly, right? Mm-hmm. My homegirls, they crying. I'm like, I'm never coming back to this city again. And it's one of the best cities to be in Romania. But by the time we get to the police station, the officer is asking me what's going on. He's like, where's your paperwork? I was like, I ain't got no paperwork. I'm out here playing basketball. But the dudes call my friend a nigga, and that's a racial slur. And he's like, I know this word. So I'm going to just let y'all go.
I know this word.
I know this word. And it's not good. I'm just gonna let y'all go. Right. I'm like, thank you, because in America, that's a racial slur. You know,
man, look, Romania is like, when I played in Romania,
we just happened to get a good
gym home. Gym home. Them dogs scared me enough. The damn dogs kept me inside.
Yo, the dogs running mobs.
Yo, the dogs. One of my teammates almost got mobbed by a group of dogs. She went at nighttime, which is a no-no. She went out. We stayed in this one big building where we all had our individual apartments in the building. Mm-hmm. And you had a little electric key. She went, walked, got some chicken. She came back. My apartment was at the bottom. This was my second year overseas. And I'm like, I hear somebody yelling, like, fuck. I go, she forgot her key to get in the main door. Whole bunch of dogs. She throwing the chicken. Because I'm like, yo, them motherfuckers turned into vampires that night. They was going to eat you alive. They were going to eat you alive that night. I remember a couple years after, my mom showed me on BBC News that a dog had actually mauled a kid, ate like half their body. After that one year in Romania, and I didn't have no visa. So when I tried to leave the country, they tried to keep me. And I was like, I'm never coming back. I promise you, I'll never come back to this damn country. Just let me go home. You play Call of Duty against random people, VT, or y'all got like a little, y'all got a hooper community of Call of Duty?
Yeah, we got a frat. We got a frat. You know, we got a frat that we play with. Them boys on there right now, but I told them to give me a couple minutes. You know what I'm saying? I'll get back. Yeah, we be on there all night. All right, before we
shift topics on the, you know, again, I think it's just important for I mean, I guess players in general, especially Americans, what's your take on, more so for the dudes, truthfully, what's your advice when they moving over here in Europe, when they go into these clubs, even if it's about protecting yourself, you know, also paying attention to your money. And what you're paying for these bottles. I've seen that happen. People getting that charge going up because you thinking you thank somebody with you, but they taxing you extra because they know you silly. What's some key things when you're moving out here in these streets that you would give some gems to people?
I mean, for the most part, man, the biggest thing is, number one, you're not home, bro. You're not home. So once you get into these environments and these different countries, you gotta be very observant about everything. Ask questions first before going out. You gotta ask what's the hot spots. You gotta do your research, because you just don't want to go out there and just go out there to the blind. Like, for instance, I went to Cyprus. I've been in Cyprus before, and the spot where Buddy got jumped at, I've been there as well. It's a hole in the wall. It's a hole in the wall. You walk down, and it's like you're going into a basement. Like, it's a hole in the wall. Be cautious of what you're doing. You just can't make moves like you used to do when you're home. You can't do that. You just can't. I know, you know, everybody and some of the youngins that's coming over here, they're very young, so very excited about the new adventure and the new journey, hoop dreams, this and this. I get it. I understand it. I've been there before too, but I've been very cautious about where I was doing in my surroundings. I am. I'm a very friendly guy, but if I don't know where I'm at, I'm on chill mode. Like, I'm on chill mode. I'm not making no sudden movements. I'm just chilling, watching my surroundings and being cautious of where I'm at. Like I say it again, but especially when you go into these places and you go into these clubs and these people see you and they see that and they know you're not, you know, what they are and you're American, they're going to charge you extra for a bottle because they know, one, you play basketball, two, they're assuming that you got it, and three, they think you're making a ton of money in their country. Yes, if a bottle is 250, you better believe it's going to be like 500 euros. So be cautious about what you're doing. Like, you just have to. That's just bottom line.
And what about the ladies? Oof. You know, before people got married, how you pick the local one that's going to be your contract boo for the season? What they need to pay attention to, BT? Come on, let us know. Because, look, it's a part of it. You know, people finding their contract boos in these cities if they don't have their wife or they girlfriend or they single. If they single in these cities, you know they coming. They ready.
It's a double, because I'm just going to think how.
Now BT is engaged. So let's
He engaged. He's just giving the young one some. You know, some young ones.
I'm just trying to make sure we clear, because I'm inside. Okay.
Right. So I got to tread lightly a little bit, but it's a double-edged sword at the end of the day, man. I think for the females that know you're coming, and don't get it twisted, like, these females don't do their research. They do. Right. It's been many times, and this is my 11th year playing overseas. It's been plenty times where I signed someplace this summer. The summer before I'm coming over here, I signed some place and I have a ton of friend requests or DMs already telling me congratulations and just let me know when you go to the club. It's a ton of that. So they already doing their research and they know who you are. Second of all, I think now in this day and age, it's like an if and if, because some dudes, I done seen it before, some dudes getting these relationships with these women over here to get a passport as well. You know, for fellas,
they doing the same thing too.
Hey, that's smart.
Exactly. Hey, it is a smart. Hey, I don't knock the hustle, but some dudes get into these situations to get the passport. When they get the passport, they know they can get a certain amount of money that's over here across this water. That they can't give to, you know, a regular person that don't have a dual citizenship. Now, on the flip side, females is doing this too, because this is basically like a way out sometimes to get from the situation they're in to get to America. Everybody want a green card. I don't care who you are. I think a lot of people want a green card because people want to see America. And they see what they see on TV. They want to be a part of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So you just, again, man, you just got to be careful of what's going on. Fellas, it's just make sure if you ever do meet a chick, a European, you have to be, you know, you have to be in tune to what's going on, because she may be looking for what you're looking for too. And that's just a way out. Let's say it like that.
And this is a win-win if y'all Open and honest with one another. Communicate.
Yeah. Hey, if y'all connecting together, it's a win-win for both parties. You know, I know a guy right now that got a dual citizenship, and he's making over 400K. Like, hey, and he stays over here now, so he don't even go back home. It's no need to.
And it adds years to your career.
Fact. A ton of years. Yeah, a ton.
But I just want to say, too, for the fellas, if she speak good English, you ain't the first one that's chilled with her.
And she been around the block, player.
If she know the slang and all that.
Check who she follow and who follow her. I guarantee y'all have some mutual friends.
No, only thing you got to do, fellas, only thing you got to do is go to her profile on Instagram, go to the followers, slide left, go to the mutual friends. And if you see about 20 to 25 of them, be careful.
And if they all niggas.
Hey, I mean, I know even for girls, some cities, I know Valencia, like when you go to some of the bigger teams, the same, you know, they already done their research, you know.
Oh, facts.
You know, they like, welcome to the city. You know, what do you need? I see you like, you know, they even looked at what I like. You know, I'm active, so they even know what I like. It's cool. You know, I like, let me know where all the food spots at because I don't want to waste no time. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I had one in Romania. Boy, then changed his profile picture on Facebook to me and him after the game. My teammate's like, this your boyfriend? I don't even know his name. No. He was taking me and my teammates to practice and everything. I didn't even know what he was about till I had to go researching for myself.
Oh, wow.
You gotta be careful.
You gotta be careful. That's the ego, you know, feeling like I'm a star. I got somebody, a groupie, somebody wanna do this for me. Like
basically, bro, just like lack of opportunity. You know, you and I, we kind of share the same type of grind to get overseas. Started from the bottom, climbing up the ladder, as opposed to other people who just start at the top and they just stay there. You know what I'm saying? I know from seeing you play over the years, you definitely deserve more than where you are. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to give some gems about how you just got to always stay locked in, because at the end of the day, you never know who's watching you. So you just got to keep grinding, you know?
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in hard work, dedication, dog work, whatever you want to call it. And I also believe in everybody has their own story. You know, I just think what's for you is for you. It's going to happen in due time, and your story is your story. I think I'm better than a lot of dudes, and a lot of guys are in better situations than me. They make way more money than me, and that's perfectly fine. But when you focus in and you lock in on yourself and you embrace where you at, I told you this, you know, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, like I have to embrace where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Once you embrace that and you get comfortable about who you are, great things will happen. And it may not happen when you want it to happen, but when it does, you'll be like, oh, wow, this it, like this how it's supposed to feel, like this where I want, this what I wanted the whole time. But, you know, I've been that type of person that had to work for everything since I've been little. It, you know, it's just my mom have that type of dedication and work to her as well. Like she's always, you know, I never really saw my mom when I was little coming up, or, you know, going through little league to playing basketball and football and stuff like that, because she's always been working two jobs. She's always been putting in work, busting her ass to make sure I had and my brother had everything that we needed to have. You know what I'm saying? I've been one of those kids that always had to rock one pair of shoes the whole year in high school. You know what I'm saying? I had to rock one pair of shoes the whole year and made sure that I kept them clean. Like, wear my basketball shoes from high school, I had to wear that to school sometimes. Like, I was just that guy. So all I know is grind. So sometimes I feel like it done got to the point where I remember in my last situation, it got to a point where it was like, they were like, you feel you comfortable when things not going good. And I'm like, I mean, that's who I am. Like, that's it. The best comes out of me when my back is against the wall. When I feel like my back is against the wall and I can't do nothing, I feel like I'm comfortable. That's when I'm comfortable. That's when I'm good. Not saying that I want these situations all the time, because I do want, you know, I want some good too. I want my flowers too. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's going to come, you know, it's going to come, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to keep grinding like I always grind and to get to that point. But yeah, man, that's just my gym. I stay grounded. No matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, no matter if it's terrible, is worse than what that is. Somebody's always going to do something worse. Mm-hmm. Somebody is always worse out there. So
right. Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy to be in my situation. I am for 11 years. I've been playing ball. I ain't had no major injuries like that. I'm just grinding. I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is me, you know?
Right. How do you, like you said, embrace it? For me, you know, again, I think everybody has a journey, and everybody decides how they're going to play this game when they learn the game being played. I mean, far as off the court in this overseas space. For me, I embraced the different things that I knew I could leverage. But when I embraced that, I gave up a certain dream. I gave up chasing skill, chasing like I'm going to go get this money. I embraced my market. And I said, all right, I'm going to rock out with this, which for some is like you gave up, which sometimes I started to think like, dang, I gave up. I know if I would have kept putting in the right work, which I was at first, I knew I could play with some of these people. But then it was like, for me, I embraced my lane and I said, I'm going to do what I need to do to stay in this lane. And I'm going to go start, you know, obviously with business, I'm going to start putting energy towards another lane, which means if energy going towards another lane, energy ain't going to the other piece. And that's a life thing. You got to choose, as everybody say, pick your lane. In sport, you got to pick your lane, I think, overseas. You got to pick what area you want to dominate, what tag you want to own, and eat off that tag for as long as you can. Like, so you're saying embrace it, but obviously you're still trying to elevate. You still want to get to that next level.
Yeah.
How do you balance motivation of embracing where you are, but still trying to get to that next level? For me, that was tough. And that's why I kind of, for me personally, it was like I had to deal with the fact that I was going to let that go.
Yeah. That's a great question, actually. But for me, it's like, okay, I've embraced the situation I'm in, and you know about Switzerland. So I embrace the situation I'm in, but the disrespect that people seem to talk and things that I've heard about me, that's what motivates me to kill. That's what motivates me to keep going. That what motivates me to be like, okay. And y'all sleeping. Let me tuck y'all in a little bit, because y'all tripping. Like, just because this game went this way, don't think that, bro, relax. Okay. Like that will piss me off a lot. Cause I think as far as like, I am trying to keep going. I'm trying to keep going up, but I'm 34 and I still play like I'm 25. Like, I just...
So you run like you're 25.
Right. I be seeing the highlights. Fast.
It's just...
Be like, I don't know what this motherfucker is. Let me get some of them Cinnamon Toast Crunchy on this story.
Facts. But it's crazy, though, y'all. Like, I really think something wrong with me, like, for real. Because it's like a different type of... It's like a different type of wave that goes through me a lot of times. Like when I'm in practice, I treat my practice like a game. You know, I treat my practice like a game. I come there in practice, and I go 1,000% all the time. I make sure when I get in the when before practice, I'm doing my dribbling drills. I'm working on, you know, I'm doing my shooting. I'm just, it just is something that keeps me going. I just don't know what it is. I know I'm not comfortable where I'm at, but I'm embracing where I'm at. But I know I have so much potential. Like, it's just, I really can't really explain it like I want to. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm getting chills now about it because it just, it's so much. It's so much left in me. Like, it just is so much left in me. And if people that really know me, like y'all do, they understand what I'm saying. But I don't know. To answer your question, I'm embracing where I'm at, but I do want to keep leveling up. But I'm paying attention to where I'm at now, but it's so much more left in the tank. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even close. It's not even close. Like,
when you say people speaking on your name, for as what people? You mean like agents or the business people or like athletes coming crazy? Like, who? Because I feel that. Like athletes know. Most part, athletes know. So no, who specifically?
For sure, the agents, the teams, athletes, fans, everybody. They know who they are. Like, don't get it twisted, bro. Don't get it twisted. That's just all I gotta say about a lot. But like, I'm here to prove myself all over again, and I'm gonna keep proving myself each and every year, like I've always wanted to do, and I always try to do. But it's a lot left in the tank. It's a lot.
The next question, though, is because, again, I know from my time of dabbling into learning more about this business, a lot of athletes do have a lot left in the tank.
Right.
But it's how much energy, you know, you're putting up the shots, you're coming early, you're doing all that. But have you paid attention to the other side, the business side, to match what you're doing on the court? Because I think that's the game that sometimes we fail to start playing strategically to get that next position. Because at the end of the day, that game, man, is crazy. And I wouldn't even say, like, now I'm at year 11 too. You know, I'm 32. And I'd be lying to say now these past 3 years, if truthfully my brand and making sure I'm ahead of somebody looking at a job. Like, I know what's going on before they even knew. So that's why I got my name in there before them. I'd be lying if I said my knowledge and my insight was the reason I got in the position I got, or why I got what I got on the team, because I knew how to market or what to say. It's a game, and I know that's part of some of the challenges of why we don't elevate. Because I was, you know, I was that top scorer 2 years in a row in Switzerland with that tag on my back, like, bro. And that's your prime. And for me, I still am pissed because I'm like, man, those were the years. That's where I could have went to a top team and did what Jory could do. But, you know, again, that's where if you knew what you knew,
right,
you could get up out of there and be where you need to be. So it's have you started to pay attention to that other side to try and figure out, all right, how we get to that next level?
Yeah, I paid attention to that side. And this is one thing I've always told myself. And I tell the young boys this too. If I should have been a millionaire based off my work, meaning based off the 11 years that I put into the game, based off the work I put in before I was a pro, I should have been a millionaire way before that. But it doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Some people don't get those chances. I done seen some of the top guys out here don't get the chance that they need to have. Like, it happens. And one thing with me, and this is something that I know I'm going to run into, and this, when you're saying, you know, have you pay attention to it, I know I'm going to run into the fact that my age is going to question a lot of clubs. It's like, damn, he's 35. Like, we can get a 22-year-old to come in here and do the same thing he's doing. But And this is something that I'm going to have to deal with when this time comes. But like I told my fiance, she, you know, she questioned me about how long I'm going to play. And I told her I want to play till I'm 40. And she was like, you really want to do this when you got, we're going to have kids and we got this house. You comfortable enough to leave me on? And it was a tough question to ask, I mean, answer, but I said, yeah, I'm comfortable and coming because that's something I sacrificed. I sacrificed my whole family to do this shit. Like, I know you, my wife, you my soon-to-be wife, but you have to understand, if I don't complete this task, what I'm trying to complete right now, I'm not going to be happy, and I'm not going to be happy in our future marriage. I'm not, because I know what I have ahead of me, but I need you to be riding with me. I know it's difficult. I know it's tough, but this is what you signed up for. I need you to be here with me, to ride with me, because this is my dream. And I sacrificed a lot of shit. Even before you, I sacrificed a lot of shit. I missed out on a ton of shit. I understand that. But once I get done with all this and I figure this shit out, I can give you everything and anything you've been wanting. The time, the hugs, all that stuff you want, I can give you that. But right now, I need you to ride with me because it's greener on the other side. And this is what I'm trying to get her to understand. But I've been paying attention to it, though. And like I said, it's definitely something that I think is going to play a major factor. But like you said, and my big homie told me this, too. Once you find your niche and you find that range where you need to be and you find where you can be comfortable, the money you can be comfortable at, good. Now we can talk about signing a two plus one. And now we can talk about signing a 3-year deal. Like, bro, I'll be cool if I can sign a 3-year deal, I'll be fine. Let me sign a 3-year deal. Let me make a little money. Let me get a little security.
What's the dream though? That's the question. What's the dream? What's the dream, BT? What is it that if you was to get, if you got it tomorrow, then would you go home to your fiance? What is it if you got it tomorrow? Or is the dream 40 or is the dream something else? What's the dream is the question.
Okay, so before the 40, the dream was always to make it to the league. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I tell young boys, the league is probably the best thing that never happened to me. Cool. This is my league over here. Now this is my league. But people got to understand, you got the NBA, you got EuroLeague, and you got EuroCup. You know, things change over the years. So now my dream is to ultimately play at the highest level possible, meaning if I can get to a EuroCup team and playing in different countries in Europe, that's fine. If I can get to a EuroLeague team, that's fine. That'll be the ultimate dream for me. If I can get to the point where I'll be honest, I was almost at 120K. I was always making 120K. Like, I was almost there. If I can possibly get back to that range, I'm cool.
Right.
But you got to be realistic, especially about this business. You got to be realistic about stuff. People don't know. A lot of people think, since he overseas, he a professional basketball player, or she a professional basketball player, she making all this types of money. Nah, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. People, you think, like, people don't, you got to understand, I came out the game making $200-$300 a month. Go to the grocery store, ain't had no extra money to spend. You know what I'm saying? You just, it just don't work for certain people like that. So the ultimate dream is to play at the highest level possible, and to do it at a high level. Once I feel that is complete in my heart, I can put the game up. I'll be satisfied.
40 is the cutoff for that.
But 40 is definitely a cutoff for that. I don't think Mayor let me go to 41.
Hell no.
he brought up 41. If she hear this, she'll be like, oh, hell no. Get him out of there now. You coming home. Because see, you said 41. You told me 40. Now you're changing it again, God damn it.
Facts. 40 is the cut.
Yeah, man. But yeah, if I can get, you know, I get to 40, how I'm feeling, my body feels great. I'm, you know, for the most part, I'm healthy. I don't eat a ton of fried food. I do, you know, try to reward myself with McDonald's because people don't know McDonald's over here. Whew.
Different.
I saw your care package, bro. You had every American snack food possible. You just blessed. Let's just put that. You blessed. Put it on that. Don't put it on a diet, nothing. You if I see you off, with a brand and you like, oh, I eat. No. He blessed. It's natural. Don't come at me with that shit.
Thank you, George. There it is.
All right, you got me.
Thank y'all. Look at how I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got me.
For real. Look, this is the other thing, though. My dilemma, of course, with the overseas spaces that I'm sure there's a lot of dudes in the summer that you're working with that know. That say the same, like, just like low, like, nah, I know. I've seen him. He's supposed to be better. I've seen the other talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My thing is, from your experience in the time, you say 11 years, has anyone pulled up to the agent, they team, to say those types of things? To validate VT? Because that's something that I get if they never really hooped with you, they never put in that work with you. But players know, like I said before, players know. And those that hate know. Because some people, you know, on better teams, they know you would kill them if they wasn't sagging in the paint on you because you're on the worst team. They know you would tear them up. But they hide behind that sometimes because guess what? At the end of the day, it's life. You don't want to lose what you got. So why, you know, but to those that you know rock with you, have any of them validated you publicly or to an agent or to they court, they group people?
Yeah. Plenty times, man. Like, it's plenty times. I get texts all the time about, you know, different leagues and where I should be. Like, my guys is always telling me, bro, you are killing Pro B France. Like, you should be in France. This French league is for you. You know, just like I told Lo a couple of days ago, I just had a scrimmage game against Varese in Italy. Varese in Italy, and that's an A1 team. And I played good. Like, I did my thing out there. Like, and just like she said, you never know who's looking. And Luis Scola, who was a great player in the NBA, he was there watching.
I mean, he played for them too.
Yeah, and he owned.
That's a historical club.
Yeah, and he owns that team now. So, you know, people see you, but I think for the most part, they don't understand that winning is the most important over here. If you win, I think that'll speak louder than anything else. Because I can kill dudes all day. I can do this, average 20, but if I ain't winning, I think that's the thing. That's what I need in my career. That's the turning point that I need in my career. And I need to win. Like, I just need to win. I think everybody know what I can do. Like, I had a stigma before, you know, that I couldn't play at a top level, but I went to Poland and I was killing that. Before my best friend passed away, I got chopped from there because I just started playing bad because I was still mentally, I wasn't there, but you know, I went to Poland and that's a tough league and I was killing out there, you know? So people know what I can do. People have vouched for me plenty of times. It's just a respect thing too, from the agent standpoint, because you know, I have an agent and if my guy have an agent and he's telling him about it, hey, yo, you know, BT trying to, and he said, who is his agent? And I tell him who my agent is. It's going to be a respect factor in there too. You know, sometimes agents don't like to step over other agents. They don't want to do that. They don't want to bump heads because that caused conflict in their money as well. You know, so with the other players they probably potentially have, you know, you just don't want to do that. You know, so you want to do everything.
There's ways around that.
There's definitely ways around it.
There's ways around that. There's ways around that. Like, I hate that. I don't like agents stunting people growth or trying to hold on to people like they own something. And with the new FIBA rules, they can't do that. That's why nobody talks. None. You don't see no agents telling you what the new FIBA rules is. You can fire them in 30 days. 30 days notice, they out of there. And now FIBA wants you to pay your agent. So now they no longer can be tied to teams. You know, the new FIBA rules is coming crazy now, which is going to change a lot. But there's ways around that. Like, that's what I mean, where you got to – but I understand when you start paying attention to the other side, it does take your focus away from just being locked in and not having to worry about it, you know. And, you know, like with Julian, like, he got low. Like, that's, you know, shout out to those that do have, you know, wives that play. Because, like, if they could be paying attention to that, what's going on, who talking to who, like, you know, that's a lot you don't have to worry about when you're on the floor. But there's ways around that, because some agents probably do know your worth. And they probably even know you probably could get – some agents I know players that could get paid more on the team they're in, not yet alone go higher. Yeah. But they literally share no information just because they like, this is a business. I can't talk to them. That's whack. That's bullshit. It's like, this is somebody's career. This is their livelihood, and you holding information that you know can help them get better is not good. But
you always gotta remember – and this is what I realized 3 years ago, and I should have known it before then, but business is business.
Right.
That's just, that's how it is. I don't care. Your agent going to think what's best for him and his family too. Mm-hmm. Even your agent. So business is business. You just got to, that's just what it is, you know?
Right. That is true.
Yeah.
So what's the move? What's the move next? Like, if you could pick a league, that's your next move, if you can move. Because, again, it's like a process sometimes. You gotta go here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always you jump. Like again, you say sometimes it's winning. When I got to Valencia, it was because of my efficiency and how I scored and did what I did that the team was – smart enough, because a lot of these clubs ain't smart. That's the other problem. But Valencia is a professional club, so they saw, like, man, she was doing this with less than 10 shots, led the league Italy in scoring, and she was, you know, again, double teamed everybody after her. So I was lucky to have a manager that was smart in basketball. I was like, oh, if she could get this under this, cool. So it depends. It's not always winning. Sometimes it's if you find the right person that see the quality of how you play,
right?
They'll take you. But what's the next league on your radar that you think you could go in to get you to the next level?
France or Italy. I can see myself playing in France or Italy for sure. And we right here by 40 minutes from the border on Italy. And I'm, you know, I've always heard, like, teams is always looking because you're right there. Like, they're driving distance. And then our stuff be on YouTube a lot. So we actually played, three, four Italian teams this year for the preseason. And we scrimmaged them. So I played good in all of them. So,
yeah. I got out of Switzerland to Italy. I took the train and tried out.
Yeah.
And they signed me. On my birthday, I finished the league in Switzerland. I got on the train. Actually, an agent that wasn't my agent, who's my agent now, Lorenzo, he told me about it. But again, the same, he didn't want to get me the job because he was like, I don't want problems with your current agents. So I got on the train. He told me their numbers. I was like, I'll come. I worked out with him, and they gave me the contract on my birthday with a birthday cake.
Say happy birthday, huh? See you at practice tomorrow.
And I signed that contract.
That's dope.
And that's how dope. I got to Italy. And I didn't actually fire my agents that year. We strategically stayed with them for that year. But the next year was when I knew I was going to fire them and go with him. But
that's dope.
You know, sometimes maybe go get in that practice at the end of the season or something, you know. If they allow it, you know, I'm sure with guys, it's even harder because they know what it is if you come in those practices.
But I've known guys too that like fly over with their friends and work out with teams while they're there and get picked up like that. I don't really hear about females doing that, but I know guys that do that all the time.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see you in Italy, VT. That game so fast paced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your personality, they'll love you.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that's one thing. I think that's one thing too that keeps me getting contracts though. I think that my personality and me being a good person is definitely a major key, because my mom always told me respect and obedience can get you further than talent a lot of times. So if you got good energy around you and your team like you and you know everybody vibe with you, that's a great thing for you in your career. So yeah,
definitely. Yeah, energy. I mean, for me too, personality, that's got me a long way. Also, you know, sometimes I've compromised being totally selfish to make sure I vibe with my teammates collectively on the court, you know, because at the end of the day, when them presidents asking who y'all want to play with, they going to say who they want to play with, despite somebody who might be able to go get 30. They don't want to play with her.
Yeah. Right. Because she don't
They don't want to play with her. You know, so again, I think it's definitely a number of things that you have to pay attention to when you're looking for these jobs. And you have to know the owners. Some owners, like, they like, I want good people. Some owners, like, I want you to be selfish and come get this score. You got to know what clubs you're going to. And then when you know yourself, then you can, again, that's back to strategically placing yourself in environments where you can, you know, succeed. And then again, making sure whatever the goal is, if the goal is to stay safe in the season, that's all your goal is.
Right.
Stay focused on staying safe in first league. You know, if the goal was to finish fourth, now you got a harder goal to reach. Because that means you got to beat some important teams. That's tough, you know? Right. So I think it's a mix of things, like you said, personality, staying locked in on the goal. Of course, the goal is always to win. But make sure you win when you need to absolutely win.
Right.
And do all those things. And it's definitely key. But Switzerland, not a bad spot to be, though. It's beautiful.
It's definitely beautiful. It's not bad.
But it is quiet. You'd probably be bored as heck.
Hey, where you at, Jerry? Where you at?
I'm in Faenza. I'm right by Bologna.
Oh, what?
In Italy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right when Lonem left. I'm like, I would have been at the house all the time. Like, what groceries you want me to bring, Lo? I'm coming over.
And I would have been at practice with you. Shoot.
Lord have mercy. That would have been amazing for me because, Lord, they'd be giving me heart attacks. I'd be like, I can't.
I saw your game against Bologna.
I be sending the pictures. I be like, look at this. Sometimes I'm like, I'm tripping. Jory, you getting old. You ain't got it how you used to. I'm like, no. Look at these two of them right here. God damn it. What I'm going to do with this? I'm not young no more. I can't go through them no more. I can't get through them. They too big. And Bologna, you know, old girl was like, I was like, yeah, I caught that ball. I was like, she right there.
Long.
Man, it'd be tough out here, but it's all good. Yeah, BT, we need to get you in Italy, bro.
Yeah, I think I like Italy a lot.
You would? We'll that though. Food too?
Whew, yeah,
I miss Italy.
We'll see. God got a plan.
For sure, he does.
We'll see where it is, though. We're just gonna take it one day at a time, like always. So.
Yeah. Cool. I ain't got nothing else for you, unless you got something, though.
Nope.
How long you planning on playing, Jerry?
Man, my goal is to get this startup funded. You know, like, I know everybody been like, what is Weevolve? Like, look, bro, we developing, we trying to get this. You know, you got to move slow. I ain't got the million. So I got to move slow. But once we about to start pitching some angel investors. So once I get clear funding, I don't think I'll fully retire, but I want to go. I'll probably go to like Cyprus or something like that and just hoop where I can like practice 3 times a day, go back to Switzerland, practice 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Work on my business. And I mean, I want to try and get a passport. I do want to live in Europe and still have the lifestyle I have, but without basketball.
Okay.
So, you know, just playing to keep funding what I'm trying to do. Keep those connections because, you know, I'm here, FIBA, EuroLeague. I can connect with all of them and keep learning what they need. Then I'll be done. My goal when I first set a goal was 35 because I felt 35. My body was good. 35, like if I ain't have a passport after 35, I can't be the American on the nobody team. They gonna be mad. So, you know, because as an American, you have to come. You got to be the best. Now, if I was European, my body, I could definitely play longer than 35. But for me, I know I couldn't unless I was to go, you know, Netherlands or something like that. Then probably past 35. But 35 was my number. I'm 32. So that would give me 3 more years. Mm-hmm. We see what happened, though. You know, it always, you never know what guy going to throw at me. So that's the goal.
Yeah. Okay. I have a couple ideas in my head about what I'm going to do after basketball. It's definitely some things that I can put into motion now. But just like you said about energy, I'm not going to be putting my energy all into it because I'm over here and this, you know, this is what I got going on. But I want to become an agent, too. I want to do it, and I want to do it the right way, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do it the right way because I think I got an eye for talent. And I think I would more so be looking for guys that came up like me who don't get a chance like that often to give them a shot. Right. Because I know a lot of young killers out there and, you know, they don't have a job or anything like that. So I feel like if I can get these connections as well and the relationships that I'm building, I can definitely help the young ones out. I also thought about being a basketball trainer. I did it a couple times this summer, and I had some young boys, and I didn't know how passionate I was about that either until I start seeing them getting better. Like, the things that I was telling them to do, they was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God damn, I love this shit. Like,
yeah.
I was like, man, but then, you know, I have to – so my schedule was I wake up in the morning, I'll run 2 miles, do some ab work, some core work, get that out the way, play Call of Duty for like 1 hour and 30, take a nap before Mary go to work. She go to work. I'll go right behind her to get my work out in Fort Mill, which was 30 minutes away from where we stay. I do my workout. Then my kids would come in. I have them work out, and I do the workout with them. So it was like I was getting doses of both. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm always in there just sharpening my stuff up. So I'm like, God damn, I kind of like this shit. Like,
I mean, if you look, like, when you, like, for me, like you say, everybody journey different. Like, I was in love with this game. And now I am more in love with the advocacy side, like how we educate, how we put people on to what's really going on. Like, the more I'm learning, I'm like, bro, I know people ain't paying attention to the shit I know. Mm-hmm. And I can't throw it at people because then people gonna be like, yo, she has lost her mind. Like, it's like really, like, when you see certain people out here who do have a bigger platform than me, and you like, yeah, they losing their minds because they know shit that they just see the bamboozlement. You like, what? You know, so for me, it's really snatching. Like, I'm like, I don't even care to hoop for y'all no more. Like, I don't even, like, you, like, I'm gonna go win the game. But, like, you know, like, I got in trouble because we played Venice. And I was like, fuck this shit. We can't win. Our coach don't even have a game plan. I'm not about to go out here and score 20 and waste my energy when we still gonna lose by 40. You know, like, so Bologna, I had to give a little bit more energy because, you know, the president was mad. I was like, and I told him, I was like, all right, I understand you have fans, you have sponsors, you need me to entertain. Cool. That's the truth. Tell me the truth. Don't come with bullshit to me. That's the truth, because you know we can't win. But for me, my energy is totally, like, on court is off. But I think there's individuals that, like, that when they say they love the game, like you're saying, like, I think people genuinely love it. And when you genuinely love it, that's who need to be with the youth on court. Like, that's who needs to be in that gym. So I think that's definitely it. And then as far as the agent piece, when you could train and be agent, I told Dorian Lee, I don't know if you heard him, he from Atlanta, B-Ball 101. if you ever seen his page, he always was like, I need to be an agent. I'm like, man, y'all the best ones. Because y'all know the talent. Y'all know, y'all could talk to these coaches and be like, you need to put her in this situation. She will kill. You know, your trainer know how you can succeed because these coaches don't. There's a big need for agents who know the players from a player standpoint, who can consult the team, consult the coaches. Right now, the reason stuff is so messed up, in my opinion, is because they talking to agents and the agents don't know how to get the best out of you. They don't know. They just like, we need you to, they want you to do this. Thanks. Yeah. Bye. You know? And so I think one of the biggest struggles in the business is due to the agents. They don't know the game. And that's why it needs to be shifted, because this business is, these agents not doing nothing spectacular. It's networking.
Yeah.
My agent was fat. You can't tell me nothing about basketball if you can't run down the court.
Man, they just making money and they know that. And it's gonna change, you know? Yeah. And it's like, why would they be making money when they can't even market you because they don't even know basketball? So they can't even tell a team outside your statistics. That's why right now it's so hard to get move up, because they like, oh, your stats. Bro, they building a team.
Right.
So if they need a team, you should be marketing me for that team, but they can't. So it's limiting so many people who haven't proven themselves or have a brand. Because the agents literally don't have the skill set or the knowledge to say, no, in this system, in this league, they can do this. And so I told Lotus, like, I'm all for more players being agents. You know, that's what my platform, the app we're creating, is for that. Like, to literally, like I told her, this is war, to literally have all the athletes that become agents on there. And then from there, then we figure out, all right, how we eat. You know, then from there, we're like, all right, we got how many? All right, how we eat. But right now, nobody eating. So we don't need to talk about, well, if I become agent, they on there. No. Now nobody eating.
Right.
Like,
right,
literally. So
right.
What are we talking about here? Especially in basketball.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the space is wide open for that. It's just a matter of, like, maintaining that connection to those clubs from the president standpoint. And, you know, that's the part that I'm trying to do, where it's like they already plugged in. Now you just bring the talent, everything there, and create a new way of, like, making things happen.
Yeah.
You like in Spain, Lo?
Spain is cool. Burgos?
I don't even know where that is.
Exactly. It's cold. That's it. It's Burke.
Is north?
I don't even know. I feel like it's north. I mean, it ain't an island. We was on an island. Tenerife. Now we in Burgos. So I know we flew north to get here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm playing with a little team out here. Third league team. It's cool. Practice 3 times a week. Get my dose of basketball.
Nice.
That's the best thing here for me right now.
But Spain, what they third league looking like? Spain's second league is pretty tough. It's like France second league women and Spain second league women is tough.
And that's what I heard, because I was gonna try to play on a team, a second league team in Tenerife. They also had they have a Euro Cup team, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing nobody's 2-a-day practice.
That's the hardest part of playing. Like, it ain't even really about the play no more. It's like,
can you
get through 2-a-days? Can you get through these bullshit practices?
Facts. And I got 3 kids. Heck no. That's a practice in itself all day.
Right.
But the third league team here, I mean, the number one team in the league has 2 Americans. So they blew my team out the water. And I understand why. I mean, we got 15 and 16-year-olds who getting, like, bulk minutes on our team. And sometimes, you got the younger generation of the European players. They just not like college Americans who come over here to play. you know, when you got that American stamp on your back, you're supposed to come over here and get buckets, like you said.
Yeah.
So I know they was probably playing some bully ball a little bit and just doing what they supposed to do, what they were hired for. So I don't know. I'm trying to get my – I need my residence card so that I could play in the game. We got a game tomorrow, and, you know, we play the last place team, but my coach is – he's nervous. He's like, they're the last place team. They don't have any wins. But when we miss layups and we start turning the ball over, play goes down. And I'm like,
that's every team. Every team.
I'm like, bro, that's basketball. I know. All right. I understand.
Yeah. That's just like, though.
Yeah, but don't put that American stamp on my back.
Oh, you just got MVP, Boogie. Don't act like that. You just got MVP in the summer.
But you know, right? When you hoop at home and when you hoop overseas,
right? You got people know how that y'all on the same page. You give them a look. You got that back. You know, when you get here, you be like,
ain't nobody cutting back door when I do this. Ball faking for you to go. Like, no, I need you to just go.
Right.
And over at home, people talking trash. So that turns it on for me.
Yeah, some motivation.
Yeah, don't talk trash to me. I said and one in practice the other day, and everybody was like,
they be getting scared. The other day I said and one joking, like, you know, we was going through.
Yeah.
Shot it. Girl, my teammate hit my hand like, and one. She's like, sorry, Jory. I was like, don't tell me sorry. Stop telling me sorry. And it was the one teammate supposed to be my dog. Like, you supposed to be my one. I say, go get her. Go make her fight with you. Like, what are you telling me sorry? Like, we got enough soft, friendly people on the team.
Right. And my teammates, they fascinated with me because I'm old, but I can still play. I got three kids. I got braids. And they're kids. They in high school. So they're like,
yeah, they probably like, how? What?
Yeah. Oh my God, girl. They saw my kids on my phone and they're like, these are your kids. Yes.
All right, then. Well, appreciate you, VT, for coming through.
Thank you for having me, y'all.
Connecting. Yeah. Let me know if you need anything, bruh.
I appreciate you, Jerry.
Definitely. Boogie,
appreciate y'all.
Of course. I'm glad you came up here and kept it real.
He waiting to get on that doggone Call of Duty.
I know, right? It's on the TV on the side. I know it is.
Y'all got a Twitch?
No, I ain't got no Twitch. My man's, well, we supposed to start up a little YouTube thing. I don't know why he ain't did it yet, though, but.
Y'all could get Twitch because it can show all y'all playing against each other.
Yeah. I'm gonna talk to him about it when I'm done with y'all so we can get that going. So y'all can really see. Because it get intense.
No, a couple people I know play. I'm like, well, shoot. People could be, you know, communicate, talking. Like, you know, just little pockets of communities that people can connect and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I know there's a few gamers out here. Big opportunity, too, if you're good.
I'm telling you.
Y'all got to go.
Bye.
Lila crying. He like,
he
fussing.
All right, then, man. Well, y'all stay safe. Have a good season, VT.
You too, girl. All right, y'all.
Peace.
All right, bye, VT.
Peace. Bye.